The gospel according to John, the first chapter and the first verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. He came into his own things, and his own people received him not, we are told, is the literal translation of verse 11. But, and we thank God for this, but, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We call your attention to the first two words of the 11th verse, he came. Shall we unite our hearts and pray? Our God and our Father, we give thee thanks and give thee praise for this gathering this morning. And we do thank thee for the message in song that has already thrilled our souls. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt speak to us now through thy word and save any precious souls here who have not as yet received him as personal Savior and thus becoming a child of God. We ask it in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. I discovered America 1700. I discovered America on September the 26th, 1906. My mother said it was about 4 o'clock in the morning. She said the doctor had been called, but I arrived before the doctor did. And I've been in a hurry ever since. I did not know anything, of course, about my arrival. I did not have anything at all to do with planning my arrival upon this earth. But I want to talk to you about one this morning who did have a great deal to do with planning his own birth, with planning his arrival upon this earth, with planning his coming to this earth, and what he should do after he got here. And in order to do that, we need to go back into eternity past and in fancy attend a conference being held by the Godhead. Now we have scripture for this, for we read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 that we were ordained before the foundation of the world. And we read over in the first chapter of 1 Peter verses 18, 19, and 20 that he was verily foreordained to redeem us by his blood. And so as we attend this conference of the Godhead in eternity past, I like to imagine that the God the Father is acting as chairman of the board, and God the Son is the president, and the Holy Spirit is the chief executive officer. Not that there's any rank in the Godhead, but we know that the Lord Jesus Christ said that he would send the Holy Spirit. And we know that the Holy Spirit is, in a sense, the working agency of the Godhead. And we know, of course, that the Father sent the Son. So I think we have scripture for thus presenting these offices in conference in this manner. And I can imagine that the Father said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let us give them dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And perhaps the Holy Spirit spoke up and said, but when we do, we know that man will not give up the allegiance that we expect of him and that we desire of him. Neither will he be obedient to us, and neither will he give to us the glory for which we plan to make him. Neither will he love us as we want him to love us. And then perhaps the Son spoke up and said, very, very true. But we have a plan by which we may redeemed man and bring him back into fellowship with us once he falls from his first estate. And that plan will be carried out by my visiting the earth, by my taking upon myself the form of a man, by my becoming incarnate, by my taking unto myself a human body and being as man. In other words, I will be made in the flesh, in the likeness of sinful flesh. And sure enough, that plan was agreed upon. And so we read in the next verse, in the first chapter of Genesis, after the one that we quoted just a moment ago, so God made man in his own image. In the image of God made he him. Male and female made he them. And God blessed them. And God has said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And then we note over in the second chapter of the book of Genesis the details of how God went about doing this. We read in verse 7, so the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he opened up his side, and he took from him a rib. And the rib which he had taken from the man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And then we note that the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God took the man whom he had formed and put him into the garden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God said unto the man, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now notice, here God made man. Here God made a beautiful flower. God planted every kind of tree that you can imagine, and caused that tree to grow in that garden. There was every kind of fruit that man might desire. What a beautiful place it must have been. And we know not how long man enjoyed fellowship with God in that tranquil scene. We know that Adam did walk with God in the cool of the day. But, unfortunately, something happened to disrupt that beautiful scene that we have just pictured from the scripture. And we note that in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, where we read, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And the serpent said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of every tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said, where art thou? The first question in the Bible is by God asking as to the whereabouts of man. That is the first question in the Bible and in the Old Testament. When we get over to the New Testament, the first question in the New Testament is man asking as to the whereabouts of God. For the wise men come, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? But going back to the Garden of Eden, in response to this question that God raised as to Adam's whereabouts, Adam replied, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God said unto the man, he says, Hast thou eaten of the fruit of the tree, whereof I commanded thee, saying that thou shouldest not eat of that, eat of it? Is that the reason you know that you are naked? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the fruit of the tree, and I did eat. And unto the woman he said, what is this that thou hast done? And she said, the snake did it. The serpent did it. The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. He deceived me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this thing, cursed art thou above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go all the days of thy life, and thou shalt eat the dust of the earth. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between her seed and thy seed, and he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And right there, God told the serpent, and of course the devil had incarnated himself into the serpent. So God told the devil, God told Lucifer, the exalted cherub who had been son of the morning, who had been cast out of heaven because of the pride and iniquity in his heart, when he decided he would usurp the throne of God. God told Satan of his plan to redeem man through and by the seed of the woman. And God explained to him that the seed of the woman would redeem man whom the snake, the serpent, the devil had caused to disobey him by bruising the serpent's head or bruising Satan's head, but it will be accomplished also by your bruising his heel. And so, in the Word of God we read, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And so after these centuries passed by, the centuries became millenniums, and the fullness of time was come, God began to implement his plan to redeem man who had disobeyed him, who had gotten out of fellowship with him, who had separated himself from him, who had denied him the allegiance and the loyalty and the fidelity and the love and the obedience to which God was entitled. God was ready to implement his plan to redeem man and bring man back into fellowship with himself. And the Bible is so specific in telling us how God did it. We read there in the first chapter of Matthew's Gospel in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, and that means indeed, before they came together, she was found the child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, being a just man and not minded to put her away privily, thought within himself that, not willing to make a public example of her, forgive me, my mind's running ahead of my tongue. And Joseph, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. And I think that's the correct pronunciation of it, privily. And while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream and said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God with us. And Joseph, being awakened out of his dream, did as the angel had bidden him, and took unto him Mary his wife, and noticed this, and knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son. Now before Joseph made this startling discovery that the woman he loved, and the woman who was betrothed to him, the woman who was to become his wife in the fullest sense of the word in the course of time, was with child. When he discovered this, before he discovered this, the angel Gabriel had come to Mary herself while she was there in Nazareth in Galilee. And when he came unto her, according to Luke chapter 1, he said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Mary was distressed. And she wondered what all of this meant. The scripture says she was troubled at his saying. She cast in her mind what manner of saying this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Thou shalt conceive and shalt bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And over the house of Jacob he shall reign forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. But Mary was still puzzled. And she wondered. And she asked the angel a very, very natural question, it seems to me. She said, How shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? She said, I'm not a married woman. I have not been intimate with any man, and I have no intentions of being intimate with a man until I am fully married to Joseph, and that date is yet future. And then the angel explained to her how this miracle was going to take place. He said, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee, and that holy thing which shall befall of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived in her old age, and this is the sixth month which was called that. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And I thank God for that text. That with God, nothing is impossible. And then Mary said something that it would behoove us to stop and ponder for a moment. She said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. And that means behold the female bond slave of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy will. Now if Mary had any sense at all, and I am quite certain she was a very intelligent young woman. She knew that if this thing happened that the angel had announced to her was going to take place, it would bring reproach upon her. And she would have a very, very difficult time indeed explaining it and in persuading people to believe what had actually happened. And yet, in spite of that, she was submissive and she said, Here I am, Lord. If that's what you want, if that's the way you can use me, it makes no difference how much reproach it brings to me. It makes no difference how much ridicule or how much abuse I have to receive. That's all right. That's all right. Remember, Simeon told her, Sword shall pierce thine own soul also. She said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And sure enough, it happened unto her. Just as the angel Gabriel said it would happen unto her. And the time came for her son to be born. The time came for God's son to arrive in the world. And God had chosen that his son should come through this young Jewish maiden who was a virgin. And it would be through her womb that he would come into the world. But wait just a moment. God had said through the prophet, as recorded for us in Micah 5:2, And thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands in Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, who shall be ruler in Israel, whose going forth was from old, from everlasting. God said that his son would make his debut into the world in Bethlehem of Judea. God had said his son would arrive on the earth in Bethlehem of Judea. But the time for the birth of God's son was at hand. It was time for Mary to be delivered. And here she was in Nazareth in Galilee, and that was 60 miles from Bethlehem of Judea, where God said his son would arrive. Now, friend, Every prediction in this blessed book must be fulfilled to the letter. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said every jot and every tittle. And if God said his son was going to arise in Bethlehem of Judea, and his son was going to arrive through and by this young Jewish maiden, then she must be in Bethlehem of Judea at the time of the arrival of God's son upon the earth. And what happened? Well, God moved a heathen king by the name of Caesar Augustus, the emperor, to cause the whole civilized world, for just about the whole civilized world was at that time under the dominion of the Roman government, to move so as to get this one person, this one young woman, to a certain place. God caused Caesar Augustus to summon all of the subjects of Rome to go to the land of their nativity. In other words, to go back to where they were born, to go back to where their families lived, to go back to home bases were, that there the census might be taken. But that's the meaning of the word taxing that we find in Luke 2. And so, Joseph and Mary made the trip. And when they arrived in Bethlehem of Judea, lo and behold, they were greeted with the news, there's no room for you in the inn. And they couldn't find a place to stay. You know, I can sympathize with them a little bit, because I can remember just a few years back in traveling over this land of ours when motel rooms were difficult to come by. And I can remember several times when I had to travel for miles and all I saw was no vacancy, no vacancy, no vacancy. One occasion comes to mind when Mom and I were on our way to the West Coast in 67. And we had traveled through the state of Texas that day. And as evening approached, we looked for a motel and all we saw was no vacancy, no vacancy, no vacancy. And finally, I think it was about 10 or 10:30, and I think we traveled about 450 miles that day. We were just about as tired could be. And I saw a motel that didn't have an old vacancy sign up there. And I stopped my car and jumped out and ran in. And there was a man at the desk just ahead of me. And I heard the lady clerk at the desk say, "We have just one room left." And she described that room to him, and I was standing behind that man praying, and he turned it down. Praise God, what a Savior. And I got the room. It didn't make any difference what it cost. Mom and I just reached the end of our physical endurance, and we had to have a place to rest. But here, Mary and Joseph were in a worse predicament than we were in, because Mary was great with child, and the time of her delivery was at hand, and lo and behold, they couldn't even find shelter, much less the comfort and the convenience and the help that she would need. But the innkeeper must have had a change of heart. But he said, "I'll tell you what, you may go to the stable. I'll let you spend the night in the stable." And so Joseph and Mary resorted to the stable, and there they bedded down with the animal. And that night, Mary's son was born. That night, the Lord from glory arrived upon this earth. Could he stoop any lower than to be born in a stable and to be laid in a manger? Well, he did stoop lower. But friends, we read in Philippians 2 that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he emptied himself of his glory, and he was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So he stooped even lower than the Bethlehem stable. He stooped to the lowly death of the cross, to be put to death by cruel men, using the most ignominious form of execution ever devised. That's how low he went for you and for me. He came from the high to save us who are the lowest, that we who are the lowest might go to the high. Praise God. As our text declares, he came. And after he had arrived, behold, the angel of the Lord announced the news to some lowly shepherds. We read that there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the Lord and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, listen, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. All three of the names and titles of our blessed Lord, a Savior, Jehoshua, the one who was to be called Jesus, named Jesus, that he might save us from our sins. The Lord, the Christos, the Anointed, the Messiah. And, or the Christ, the Christos, the Anointed, the Messiah, and the Lord, from glory. This shall be a sign unto you, said the angel. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace will, peace, goodwill toward men. And the shepherds said one unto another, let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. I want you to notice that the shepherds decided that they would go immediately to find this one who has come, whose arrival has been announced to them by the angel. Friends, that's a wonderful decision that they made. And I hope you make that decision this morning, if you haven't already made it, that now you've arrived and you've come to find him. Let me tell you something. You won't find him lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And you won't still find him hanging on a cross. And you won't find him in a grave. He's now at the right hand of the throne of God. But if you come to him, you'll find him reaching out nail-pierced hands to you, ready to receive you and to redeem you, which is the purpose for which he came to this earth. And to forgive you your sins, and to give you everlasting life. So, he came. He was reared in a peasant hall. He subjected himself to his foster father and his earthly mother. During his childhood and his young manhood, when he became 30 years of age, he started out to accomplish the mission for which he had come to this earth. And he began this mission by first of all seeking water baptism at the hands of John the Baptist, his forerunner, who had been sent by the Lord, saying, make straight the path of the Lord. And after he was baptized, lo, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and abode upon him, we read in Matthew 3:16. Then he began his earthly ministry. And I see him as he changed the water into wine in Cana when he attended the wedding, his first ministry. And from there I follow him as he walked about the shores of Galilee, and as he went about all Judea, and as he touched fevered brows, healed the sick, as he restored sight to the blind, as he even raised the dead. I follow him on through his career as an itinerant preacher. I hear him as he calls his disciples, the ones he selects to follow him. And then finally, after 3 years or so of ministry, with these disciples, he goes to a place that they are accustomed to going to. And there he leaves the disciples and goes apart by himself to kneel in prayer. And he prays, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he pricks ahead, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And after he prayed three times thus, he came back to his sleeping disciples and said, rise, let us be gone. He that betrayeth me is this. And sure enough, there came a bloodthirsty mob with torches and with staves. And he said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus is not. And he replied, I am. You can leave off the he. It's a palisade. Because when he replied, I am, he was using the same words and the same identification that God used when he spoke to Moses from the burning bush and said, you go tell the children of Israel that I am sent you to them. Remember, he said in the 8th chapter of John to the Pharisees, except you believe that I am, ye shall die in your sins. When he said to this bloodthirsty mob, I am, they went backwards and fell to the ground. They couldn't stand it in the presence of Jesus. But doubtless he did them arise. And he said, here I am. Go ahead and take me. Let these go. I'm the one you're seeking after. And they took him on before Annas, father-in-law to the high priest, on before Caiaphas, on before the Sanhedrin, and on to Pilate. Pilate sent him to Herod. Herod sent him back to Pilate. Pilate delivered him to the angry mob and said, though I find no fault in him, you take him and crucify him. And they took him. And after that, Pilate had Herod had his strength and laid that poor cross upon his back. And he bore that cross up Moriah's side, except for the help that he received from Simon of Cyrene for a little space. When they reached the appointed spot, they nailed him to the cross as it lay upon the ground. When they lifted up that cross, there he was suspended between heaven and earth. And for 3 hours, he suffered beneath the rays of the eastern sun. Then God tired of the crowd mocking his son. God covered his son with the canopy of darkness. And for 3 eternal hours, the seed of the woman, the Redeemer, the one who had come to redeem man and to restore man into fellowship with God, to make disobedient man once again fit for fellowship with God, suffered on that cross during those 3 eternal hours of darkness, what a soul will suffer in hell throughout the ages. And he cried and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he died. They took him down. They put that body in a bark tomb. He came by way of the virgin's womb. He was buried in a bark tomb. They came back 3 days later to look for that body. They couldn't find him. So he's arisen from the dead. And the angel said, he's not here, he's risen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Bless God. Bless God. He was no longer in the dead. On Easter Sunday morning, Dr. Ory thought he was headed for the Moody Church, and he saw a little fellow looking in to a store window as he walked along the sidewalk at a picture of Jesus on the cross. And he stopped and said, young fella, you know what that's all about? And the little boy told him, and Dr. Torrey knew that the little boy had been to Sunday school. And Dr. Torrey said, certainly it's a shame they did it that way, isn't it, son? And he started on down the street. And the little boy ran after Dr. Torrey and he said, mister, I forgot to tell you, he ain't still dead. He ain't still dead. Bless God, he ain't still dead. Bless God, he's not still on that cross. Bless God, he's not still in that grave. Bless God, he has arisen from the dead. He's also ascended to the right hand of the throne on high. And he ever lived to make intercession for you. Oh, friend, he came. He came with the one purpose in mind, to redeem you and to redeem me from my sins. He gave himself a ransom for all. If you haven't accepted it, If you haven't trusted him as your Savior, will you not do so right now? Notice the 12th verse. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I pray that you believe on his name this morning. I want us to bow our heads, will you, right now? And pray for just a moment, those of you who know the Lord. Pray for any who have not received this one, who went to such lengths to redeem us from our sins, who suffered so much to save us from hell. Will you pray for any who haven't trusted, that they might trust him? With our heads bowed, could we just sing softly the first verse of Just As I Am, a cappella, Just As I Am, without one plea, before I go ahead and start it? Well, the organ plays softly if you wish, but just sing it. Go ahead right now, softly. The first verse, Just As I Am. To the word, will you get up and come up to the front and have a seat, and I'll sit down there with you, and we'll talk about it. I'll tell you more about this wonderful one who came, who died for you, was buried and rose again, and who wants to save you this morning. Will you come right now? If you'd like to talk with us after the service, will you remain? Let me know that you'd like to talk with me, and ask Brother Irvin Morgan to just close the service with a word of prayer. Please.